David says in the Psalms, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. I'd like to welcome Bill Mowat this morning and his wife as well, I believe. Yes. Maybe isn't it your wife, actually, is it? No, it is. I want to say because you, I mean, Christine's a lot of creaming this morning because they have a kids' club this weekend. But normally, Christine's sitting in the opposite end of forever for me, so I'm glad to see that I'm near the online bill for my wife gets estranged from me in a congregation. But welcome to you both in the name of the Lord, and thank you for coming. Just a few announcements before I hand over to Bill. This evening, I should say, at 6 p.m., Steve Hay will be coming to minister. There's a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, and John Buchanan will be here for Hopeman next Sunday morning and evening. Robbie's on holiday. One other announcement, which would be remiss of me not to announce it, since Bill is the chairman of Kasich and Bucky, but there is leaflets in the table in the lobby. Kasich and Bucky, from Saturday the 3rd of August to Friday the 9th of August, Heaven the Life to Come. Very interesting. Very interesting. So here a good read through that and go into the website. There's a letter on the notice board as well, if you can avail yourself of those meetings or some of them. I think that's all the announcements. So, Bill, just hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Well, thank you for your welcome here this morning. It's always good to be here. I do trust that we'll be blessed as we open God's word and that the Lord may be glorified in our worship today. I was listening to a podcast just the last day, Walking the Dog. I've discovered podcasts, and it makes walking the dog a lot more interesting, believe me. And this chap, a Welshman, was speaking about how to lay out your hymns during the service. And he always said, always enter with worship to God. So we're going to start by that. To God be the glory, great things he has done, so loved he the world that he gave us a son. It's number 60 if you're using the book, but I believe it's on the wall as well.
Thank you.
Now shall we pray together? Our God and Father, we just thank you this morning that we can enter your courts with praise and with thanksgiving in our mouth. We thank you, our God, that you have put a new song into our lips, even praise unto your name. And we thank you, our God, that from our heart we can worship and praise you for the great things that you have done. We thank you, our God, that the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. And we think, our God, of the wonder of your creation and of your power and majesty. We think of your wisdom, our God, revealed in the world in which we lived, and even in ourselves. And we just rejoice, our God, in your greatness. And we think of your love. We think of your grace. We think of your plan of salvation. And we just bow in your presence to worship you for the great things that you have done. And we thank you that because of this, we are here today with hearts that have been washed and spirits that have been revived and a desire to come and to worship you. As we look forward, our God, to all that you have for us in your word and in your future. And so we just commit our service to you today. We just thank you for all who have come. We thank you, our God, that you knew our need and that your word is sufficient for us and your spirit is sufficient for us this morning. And we pray, our God, that we all might have a vision of Christ as we have gathered together and our souls might be uplifted and our step brightened and our service invigorated while we wait for the Lord to come. We thank you, Father, that we have that glorious future. We thank you that soon the Lord shall come. And we pray, O God, that you would stir our hearts and that you would refresh us individually as we gather in your presence today. And we think of so many that are other places today, some on holiday and some serving you elsewhere. We just pray, O God, for your blessing upon them where we are as we continue before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just read a scripture to you this morning? It's not the scripture that we're going to be speaking from, but just something to really kind of set the scene of what we're thinking about today. You don't need to look it up if you don't want to, but it's Hebrews 11, that famous chapter in Hebrews. Verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, and they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a city. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Hallelujah. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's sing another hymn together. It's number 2, How Deep the... it's not in the book, but it's on the wall. How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Am I right in saying the offering will be taken up during this hymn? That's right. Okay.
Thank you.
Right, let's dedicate the offering to the Lord. Father, we just come into your presence to thank you for the hearts of your people that have been stirred this morning. We thank you, O God, that you have touched our lives and you have blessed us. We thank you, O God, that we have sung these words, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. And we thank you, O God, that of a response to that measureless love, we thank you for what has been given this morning. Now we just dedicate it to you and to the glory of Christ and to the furtherance, O God, of the work of the kingdom in this area and to the blessing of this church. And we pray that it might be used wisely, and we pray, O God, that it may be used to bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just thank you for this opportunity to give, and we just dedicate it to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to the scriptures together again, and I would like to read with you this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 1, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. This is a New King James Version. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we trust God would bless that interesting reading from his word when we come to look at it in a minute or two. But let us sing another hymn of worship to the Lord. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. It's 239 in the book. Sorry, it's Hear His Love. So it is. It's 118. It's a mad scramble at the back there. It's actually 118. Here is love vast as the ocean. Now you know the last hymn, so you'll all be ready for that one when it comes. Here is love.
Thank you.
Now, I do my PR bit for Keswick and Bucky first. Thank you for mentioning Keswick and Bucky. We're looking forward to it this year. We were sitting in the committee having a discussion about, you know, how to advertise the meetings and different posters and things we're making up. And somebody came up with this line, it's going to be heaven this year. And it just said underneath it, Bucky, Keswick and Bucky, and the dates. And I thought, oh, that's a great one. It's going to be heaven this year. And of course, you might think, well, that's a bit of a bold statement to make for a series of meetings, because sometimes a series of meetings didn't turn out just exactly the way that you hope they will do. But we are sure it's going to be heaven this year, because that's the subject, of course, that we're dealing with. It's going to be heaven this year. And, you know, there was a few things that brought us to decide to speak about heaven, but I think it's actually strange that, in a sense, heaven is going out of fashion in the church. It's kind of funny to say that, really, but you didn't hear much folks speaking about heaven. You didn't meet much Christians that discuss heaven, and there's not a lot of Christians that are looking forward to go to heaven. Now, that's maybe a general, wide statement, but, you know, we like to hold on to life, and we don't think that one day our life's going to pass away. But, you know, one day that will come, and we shall be ushered into heaven itself. And that's a wonderful consolation. Well, in fact, it's not a consolation, it's a prize. It's not a consolation prize. It's what life is all about, isn't it? It's what life is all about. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelation that around the throne of God, there is a rainbow, and it's a circular rainbow, and it's a green rainbow. And of course, we like to see the rainbow and all the different displays of colour, but God's rainbow about the throne is a complete circle around the throne, and it's green. And due to the podcasts again, I was listening to a guy speaking about that, and he said, you know, what does the colour of green symbolise in the Bible? It symbolises life. And you just need to be out in the fields and out in the parks, and everything is green when it's growing and life is bursting out. And you see it in spring and early summer before it dries off. And life, you know, there is a life that has no end. And we're going to be ushered into eternal life and all its fullness and all its glory. And really, that's why we got saved in the first place. And so, but you know, in church today, there has been an emphasis, and maybe rightly so, on the idea of bringing the kingdom here to earth. You know, we should be living the kingdom now, and that the kingdom is about changing the earth. Well, I don't know, but in fact, there was a guy in our house, and he was saying, you know, I don't think it's really about heaven at all. It's all about what you can do on earth. But no thanks. You know, we should be doing stuff on earth, but at the end of the day, we are glory bound. Hallelujah. And you know, you'll notice this, and I think I'm right in saying this, and you'll put me right if I'm wrong, but I think that even in modern worship music in the church today, there's nae a lot of songs about heaven. I think I may be right in saying that. You'll probably ken more modern hymns than I do. I'm a bit of a traditionalist, but I'll tell you something, there's a lot of traditional hymns about heaven. A lot of traditional hymns about heaven. And so, I want to think today about heaven, really. I want to think about what Hebrews would say, live on earth, life on earth, but desiring a better land, desiring a heavenly land. It says that about Abraham. It says that if he had been mindful, I think it's the King James Version, it says that, if his mind had been full of the country from which he had come, he might have went back. But his mind was full of the country that he was going to. He desired a better country, a heavenly country. And it says, so God was not ashamed to be called his God, for he had prepared for him a city. And so Abraham had left his old country, and he'd entered into a new country. But he never put down roots there, because he was looking for a better country, a heavenly country. And that should be the case with us as believers. You know, we are affections. The Paul says, set your affections on things which are above, where Christ sits. You know, this year has been a big year for sport, isn't it? You know, if you put on the TV, for a while it was like the Women's World Cup. Wow. The Women's, no offense to the sisters, like. But the Women's World Cup, and that was the big thing. And if you weren't watching every episode, there was something really wrong with you. Because it was the World Cup, the Women's World Cup. And then that wasn't finished. And of course, the Lionesses, boy. We were so happy to have the Lionesses just over the border. You know what I mean? That was great. Anyway, they didn't actually win. But who won again? It was Americans. Just in case you forgot, you shouldn't have forgot that. And then after that, it was Wimbledon. And that was so, that was amazing. That just took over the TV for a few weeks again. And boy, Wimbledon. And remember that young girl from America was doing so well. Forget her name now. And then, of course, Serena in the final. And then she never won. It was that other, I forget her name. But at the time, you had to ken her name because it was so fascinating and exciting. And then, of course, wasn't it the same day as Wimbledon? It was the World Cup, World Series at cricket. And it was England, best of all. And they won it. Tremendous. And now, great excitement. It's a World Cup at basketball. Wow, I don't care how we lived before. And you know, there's just been a great pressure. And goodness, it's just playing games really, isn't it, when you think about it? It's just games. And you know, the world is just so pressurizing us, isn't it? It's just so in our face, and it's just supposed to be so fascinating. And a couple of days later, you can't even make it for one fit. But our affections and our desires ought to be above, where Christ sits. And so I thought I'd speak to you a wee bit today, because we're speaking about this at Keswick and Buckey, heaven. And of course, the ministry today won't be on that standard, like. But we're going to have a wee look ahead at what awaits us. You know, Paul, in this letter to the 2 Corinthians, he speaks a lot about boasting. And of course, Paul was very much against boasting. You might remember that when he wrote the first epistle to the Corinthians, he told them in the very first chapter, second chapter, and I think the third chapter, that they should not be boasting. He makes it clear that the cross, the whole basis on which our eternity is built, our salvation is secure, is the thing that deals once and for all with pride. You know, no proud person ever got saved. God resists the proud, says the Bible, but he gives grace to the humble. And you might remember yourself when you came to the Lord for salvation, you came convicted of your need, convicted of your sin, convicted of your guilt, and you saw that Christ died on the cross, and you put your faith there. And suddenly, instead of trusting in yourself and your own brilliance and your own ability, everything you hoped that you had was transferred for yourself and put upon Christ. And now we're just dependent on Christ for salvation, nay ourselves whatsoever. And so the cross is a wonderful way of dealing with that curse that brought even Satan down for the heights in which he was created. Pride and confidence in self. And it transfers it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, there's that lovely expression in Corinthians that says that God has so designed salvation that no flesh should glory in his presence. And he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so Paul was a very humble man. His faith was totally in Christ. His glory was completely in the cross. Remember another expression he uses, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we all glory on the cross, I trust today. It's our only hope, it's our joy to think that Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. And it is where our faith is, nay in ourselves and in our abilities and in all that we are in ourselves. And so Paul, and yet here, he starts his verse by saying, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul is boasting a lot in 2 Corinthians. He apologizes for it. It kind of sticks in his craw to be boasting. And he says, you have made me a fool in boasting. But you have compelled me. They compelled them to boast. And what was really happening was this, that the Corinthians, who did go for a bit of boasting themselves, were being carried away by false teachers, false apostles, people who said they were apostles, but they weren't. And Paul says about them, he says, they're continually taken from you. They are bringing you back into bondage. They are teaching you error. They are the ministers of Satan. They smite you on the face, and you allow them. You permit it. You suffer fools gladly. That's what he says. And these false prophets, man, they love to boast. They would boast about their education. They would boast about their ability. They would boast about their upbringing. They would boast about their genealogy and their history. And the Corinthians were so impressed with these guys. And Paul says, well, if they can boast, I can boast as well. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. And are they Israelites? So am I. And then he goes on to speak about his ministry. He says, are they servants of God? I am more. And he goes on to tell them how boast about his ministry. And, you know, he doesn't want to do it. But he has to counter these men that have so impressed these Corinthians by boasting. But if you look very carefully at what Paul boasts about, he boasts about his infirmities. And if you were to read the chapter before, you'd read about Paul boasting about how many times he was in prison and how many times he was beaten for Christ and how weak he was and how many times he was near death and times that he nearly drowned. And it's all these kind of weak things that he boasts about. He says, if I must boast, I'll boast in my infirmities. Didn't he say how many conferences he took or how many times he spoke at Keswick or at the Faith Mission Convention? He didn't boast about these kind of things, how many churches he'd started and how many people he'd seen saved. He wasn't going to boast about these things. He boasted about his infirmities. But he comes to chapter 12 and he says, but I want to stop that. I want to tell you something about visions and revelations of the Lord. You see, you can't boast in yourself and then see the glory of Christ. There's a choice to be made. And Paul says, I have to do this. I didn't want to do this. I would rather come, and I'm going to come, to visions and revelations of the Lord. And Paul, although he has listed, and you should read it all, he was such a servant of God, I think anybody else would have given up a long time beforehand. All these things that he suffered. In fact, he finishes it by saying this, and I was let down in a basket through the window in the wall, and I escaped from his hands. He was speaking about Damascus. And they say that what was here was that he was let down in the bucket. He was let down in the refuse basket outside the wall of Damascus, and he escaped with his life. And the wonderful contrast in God's word is this, that in chapter 11, he was let down the walls of Damascus in the muck bucket. In chapter 12, he was caught up into the third heaven. Same man. Same man. I want to think about that experience that Paul has here. We're going to think in chapter 12 about Paul's visit to heaven. And, you know, the suffering of Paul, the sufferings of Paul endured in his service for Christ, the Lord in his grace gave him such a revelation of his glory and such an experience of being caught up to the third heaven. You know, nobody knows exactly when this happened in Paul's life, but a lot of folk would bring it to the time when Paul was in Lystra and he was preaching the gospel and the people turned against him and they stoned him and they left him as dead and they dragged him out of the city as dead. And while Paul was being dragged out of the city as dead, the Lord took him up to the third heaven. You know, we would love the vision, but we don't want to pay the price for it. But God compensated Paul so well for this love for him and his service for him. And the revelations that he got from God were so amazing and so wonderful that he even had to have a thorn in the flesh, lest he would be exalted by what he saw in heaven. Too much by what he saw in heaven. But we're not going to go on maybe as far as that. What I want to think about first of all today, we're going to think about who Paul was speaking about. Well, you see, he was speaking about himself. Well, that's how I would have done it. I'd have said, hey, did I tell you what happened to me? Paul doesn't use that terminology. He says in verse 12, he says, I know a man in Christ. And 14 years ago, I'll tell you something, if it happened to me, I would have told you in 14 minutes. I'd have been waking up and saying, hey, if it just happened to me. And 14 years, I'd have had a few books written about it. But Paul, it took Paul 14 years to bring us out, to mention the fact. And he doesn't describe himself by his name. He describes himself as a man in Christ. And that's an amazing thing. It's part of the humility of Christ. Paul, he says, I knew a man in Christ. And he says it so many times. And I know such a man in Christ. And he was caught up into the third heaven. But the wonderful thing is this, that opens it up to you and me. Because what are you and what I am? We're in Christ. And so what we can see here is Paul, he says, I knew a man in Christ, and he was caught up into heaven. You know, we are in Christ. That is a lovely expression that you'll find in all of Paul's writings. Whether it's Romans and Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Philemon, over 70 times Paul speaks about being in Christ. He is in Christ. We are in Christ. I am in Christ. You are in Christ. It's part of Paul's teaching. It's something that's quite unique. Peter mentions it twice. Nobody else mentions it. Paul mentions it 70 times, that each one of us who are believers are in Christ. He says about this being in Christ, he says in verse, I knew such a one. Was caught up into the third heaven. You know, every person in Christ one day will be in the third heaven. And he says, I knew such a one who saw the glory of Christ. Such a one, a person in Christ. And he says, of such a one I will boast. He wouldn't have boast of what he was in himself, but he would boast of what he was in Christ. And that's a wonderful truth that you find in Paul's teaching, that you and me, we are in Christ. Especially the book of Ephesians, it tells us that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It was God's intentions to put us into Christ. It says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It says that in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It says that we are accepted in the beloved. How wonderful to think that I am accepted, nay, in myself, but in the beloved. When God looks at me, he gives me the welcome that he would give to Christ. I am righteous in Christ. When he looks at me, he sees me in Christ with the righteousness of God. I am approved in Christ, says the Bible. And just as Christ is approved by the Father, I am approved because I am in Christ. And what a wonderful thing to think that in Christ, I don't have to prove that I'm anything in myself. You see, as Christians, sometimes we think this, you know, we've got to do a lot for the Lord. We've got to show that we're, you know, great, whatever it is, singers or preachers or that we have great abilities that we can do. And we begin to glory in these things, but we are in Christ. And we can glory in everything that Christ is because we are in him. Now, if we can use a simple illustration, a few times I went and preached in Gamery Church, and the first time, a few times I went there, well, there were used to be a Church of Scotland, as you might know, and there becomes an independent church, now free church, actually. But at that time, there were Church of Scotland, and they had this kind of tradition that the person who was leading the service would take the Bible of the preacher and sort of process it down the middle of the church, which I had never seen before. So this chap says, "Can I get your Bible?" I'm thinking, well, didn't I lose my notes? And he went with my Bible, and he held it up in front of him, and down the middle of the hall we went, and I'm following him. And I was quite taken with this idea, and I thought it was a bit unusual, but apparently I can see nods, like, so maybe it is a Church of Scotland tradition then. And I quite liked it. I think here was the Word of God that had been given honour and was being given a place of honour as the Word of God, and I was quite encouraged by that. But, you know, in that Bible of mine, there was lots of bits and pieces, and there was notes and different things that had been stuck in there over the years, and an occasional sweetie paper that was being used to mark a certain scripture or something like that at the time, and, you know, had just become part of the Bible over the time. And so in this Bible, here was a Kit Kat paper or something like that, something with chocolate usually, and as you can tell. And here was this Kit Kat paper being progressed and processed with great dignity down the middle of this church. But that was only the case because it was in this Bible. And it was being given all the dignity and honour that it didn't really deserve in itself, but because it was in the Bible, it was getting that. And I thought to myself, well, that's just like me. I'm in Christ. And really, in myself, I shouldn't be there. If that guy was to look through the Bible and take the Kit Kat paper and hold it and go down the church like that, folk would be thinking, what's he doing? It's only a Kit Kat paper. Well, who am I? I'm nothing. But in Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Sometimes we say to God, bless me, too late. In Christ, he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. In Christ, you are accepted in the Beloved One. You are approved in Christ. And there's a lovely verse that says that, you know, that through the ages to come, that God is going to show his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, that we're going to be sitting in heavenly places so that God in the ages to come can show, this is what it is, the riches of his grace through his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And so because of Christ, because of the work he has done, Paul says, there's a man in Christ. And because he was in Christ, he was caught up to the third heaven. That's a wonderful thing. And interestingly, he says something else. He says that this man in Christ, he thinks about a fact. He says, and he says it several times over, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. So we thought about who was caught up, a man in Christ. And I see a lot of men in Christ here. And I see a lot of women in Christ here. And one day we're going to leave this world and be caught up because we are in Christ. But Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Now, it's kind of interesting that, really, because Paul had wrote to the Corinthians about the experience of when a person dies being with Christ immediately, without the body. And then we're going to maybe visit us in a minute or two, but he would go in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he told them about the experience that of the body being resurrected and changed and prepared for dwelling in heaven forever. And so he gave the ministry to this church about what it was to leave the body and to be with Christ in spirit. The spirit would leave the body and be with Christ. And then that great day of resurrection, when the Lord will call the body out of the grave, when the soul, spirit, and body will be reunited and the body changed to dwell in heaven forever. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. But he says, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. And I know you're not supposed to add to scripture, but I feel like you said, and I don't care. You know, he saw something in heaven that made him think, lose sight of himself altogether. He says, whether it was in the body or whether it was out of the body, I don't know. You know, I have a friend, well, used to work with me, actually, is a Jehovah Witness, and his wife just died really suddenly and really tragically. And it left me wondering what the Jehovah Witness believed about death and immediately after death. And apparently they believe that there is nothing until the day of resurrection. There is that ignorance, there is just a sleeping. But you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing, that there is no sleep of the spirit. There is no sleep of the soul. There is sleep of the body. The Bible speaks about sleep. We shall not all sleep. And that means to be in that condition of sleep. But it's the body is there. But the spirit is immediately with the Lord. And that's a wonderful consolation to know that one day we shall be with Christ. And Paul says, I am willing to depart and to be with Christ. It is far better. And you know, in that scripture, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he speaks about that, he says, you know, we are longing for that day when we are receive our heavenly body. And he goes on to say there that he's not really looking to die. He's looking to be clothed with his heavenly body without dying. And of course, what he's thinking about is he's wanting the Lord to come. And when the Lord comes, then those of us who are alive will not, our bodies will never die. We will be changed and made ready for heaven. That's what the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. But he that liveth until I come and believeth in me shall not die. Shall never die. Hallelujah, that's us. Paul speaks about we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up with those that have gone before. And so we are awaiting that wonderful change that whether we pass out of life and into death, our spirit is immediately with Christ in this third heaven. Paul says, I don't know if I had a body or I didn't. Because he knew that whether he did have a body or whether he didn't have a body, he would be with Christ. And he wasn't concerned about it. You know, Paul says he doesn't want to be unclothed in the sense of losing his body, but when in heaven, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Paul says, whether I had a body or whether I didn't have a body, I don't know. But I saw and I heard. And that was a wonderful thing. He had a revelation of Christ. So we've thought about who would be caught up, a man in Christ. And we're thinking about how can that be? Well, it's either spiritual. When a person dies, his spirit makes that journey to heaven. Or whether the Lord comes and calls that body out of the ground and changes us who are alive and remaining. Paul didn't say those who will are alive and will. He says, we who are alive and remain. Because he thought he might be here when the Lord came. That was a long time ago. We are those who are alive and by God's grace we will remain until the coming of the Lord. He may come today. But we don't have to worry about how. And interestingly, Paul says, I don't know. But he always says this, but God knows. So we don't have to worry too much about the marvel, the wonder of how this spirit will make that journey to heaven, or how that body will be changed. And if you want a real happy time of reading, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you'll read about how the body is changed. And lovely, just one thing I'll mention, you know, it speaks about there's different types of flesh. And what it's meaning is this, that when you go right back to the creation of the world, you find that there was three areas. There was the firmament, the heavens, there was the earth, and there was the sea. And then it says that God filled them. He filled them. And of course, he filled them with different forms of life. And each form of life was perfectly created for the area in which it was. I mean, you think the structure of a bird, and all engineers study the structure of a bird because it's so light and it's so strong and it's perfectly created for flight in the air. And then, of course, you look at a fish, and a fish is just something else in the water. But it's nothing out of the water. In fact, we've got an expression. You feel like a fish out of water. And you know how hopeless a fish out of water is. And that's because it was created for that area. So the Lord says that we have had the image of the earthly, but we shall have the image of the heavenly. It shall be able to bear the glory of heaven. It shall be able to live in heaven perfectly. It is eternal in the heavens. You know, once you get that body, you're never going to get another one. You know, some of us who never got a great body the first time around, we're looking forward to the second time around. And the second time around, that's it. We won't need another one. We're going to have a body that is perfectly created for heaven and for enduring and enjoying the presence of God forever and for seeing and understanding the glory of Christ. Hallelujah, what a day that's going to be. And then we could think about where the third heaven, he speaks about the third heaven, and you might remember how that the Bible speaks about heavens in different senses. It speaks about the heavens where the birds fly. Sometimes use the word heaven for that. And then it uses the word heaven for the stars, for space, that heaven, stellar heaven. And then, of course, often it's heaven, which is the house and the home of God, the third heaven, where God dwells. And that is where Paul was taken up to where God dwelt, the very house of God. The Lord Jesus says, my Father's house. Wow, my Father's house. You remember in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle that had three areas. It had a court, and then it had a holy place, and then it had the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt. And of course, the priest was not allowed into the Holy of Holies except for just once a year. But the Bible tells us that the Holy of Holies is open to us through the work and the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we will one day dwell with God. You know, that's a wonder. That's the difference between the church and Israel. Israel is God's earthly people. The church is created for heaven. Of course, Israel, Jewish folk that are saved today are in the church. They're going to be in heaven. But God has created it for us. And somebody pointed out that, you know, when the Lord was here and he had these disciples who were concerned not only with the church but with Israel, who were the remnant of Israel, he took them up the holy mountain to show his glory. But he took Paul up into heaven because that's where the church is destined to be. And so one day we're going to heaven. And we're going to be there eternally. And we will eternally be a heavenly people. Now, I know that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And I know that there's going to be a kingdom here on earth. And there'll be a heavenly city. But we'll be in that heavenly city while the kingdom is being manifested on earth. We are a heavenly people. So set your affections above. And already the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, heaven itself, nothing less, the very best for the people of God, it's heaven itself. You'll remember that when John saw the throne room of God, there was 24 thrones around the throne, which I believe signifies the church in that future day. We're going to be in the very throne room of God, rewarded and crowned. and sharing the intimate fellowship with God and worshipping Him in His very presence. Oh, it's no bad being a Christian, eh? Hallelujah. You know, that's what I think. You know, no matter what happens on earth, the best is yet to come. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? And no matter how old you get, and I'm not as old as I'm going to maybe be one day, but and how I got the infirmity is that maybe I will have one day, but there's always something better before, and it'll never end, and it's better than we can imagine, and it's glorious. It's a third heaven. It's the very house of God itself. And then finally, why? Well, visions and revelations of the Lord Jesus. Paul was unconscious of self. He didn't know if he was in the body or if he was out of the body, and he wasn't bothered, but he had a revelation of Christ, and that filled his heart, and it filled his mind. And it was so wonderful that it just kept him in his service for the Lord. And he knew that it waited before him. And when he said that to depart and be with Christ was far better, he kent it was. He'd been there. He'd been there. And just, you know, he says he saw things that were, how does he put it, that were, I saw things and I heard things which were inexpressible by words, and it was not lawful for man to utter. So Paul, in that place of revelation and glory in Christ, he saw and he heard things that he was not able to speak on earth, and he was not permitted to speak on earth. Now, sometimes you've read a lot of these books about folk that go to heaven and come back. I may a bit suspiciously. I can well remember reading one about this chap that was in heaven, and all the fruit trees had fruit on it, but they didn't have skins on them. And so all the oranges, you didn't have to peel them, because there was no defilement in heaven, so the Lord never put skins on the oranges. Never put skins on the plums or on the pears or the peaches or whatever was growing in heaven. And I thought that was a bit strange, but I shouldn't be so negative. But, you know, what Paul saw in heaven, he was not allowed to speak on earth. And he was not able to communicate on earth. And that delights me. Because there's stuff in heaven that we couldn't take in today. And we wouldn't be allowed to come today. But we'll come one day. And we'll see it one day. And we'll be able to take it in one day. Because we're in Christ. May all heaven says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Earth's toils will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be in Christ? Isn't it great to be able to look forward? We don't need to worry which sport's coming next. Let's look above. Let's look on. There's so much to delight our hearts. Let's sing a hymn together before we close the meeting in prayer. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? It's 239, if you're using the book, 239.
Oh,
Father, again, we bow in your presence. We thank you, our God, that you are the God of hope. We thank you that you have put a hope in our heart that is like an anchor of the soul, that is sure and steadfast, that enters within the veil where Christ has entered as the forerunner for us. We just thank you, our God, for that day when he was taken up in glory. And we thank you, our Father, for as he was taken up, we know, our God, that one day we shall go and that we shall see him in his glory. And we just rejoice in this, our Father, and we thank you that you have given us that lift to our spirits. And we just pray, our God, that you would translate that by your grace and by your spirit into service in the days that remain to us. So we pray that you would part us now with your blessing. We remember the service in the evening. We pray for your blessing then, and we ask it all in the Saviour's name. Amen.